worship so far. It's time we ask that everybody open up their Bibles and follow along as we go through the lessons. Make sure the truth is being taught in all things as we continue through our worship. Appreciate Charlie and scripture reading that he had read for us this morning. As he read there in 1 Corinthians, Paul very much making it clear that he knows his past, knows what he has been doing since his past. But he makes it clear to the point that he understands where his salvation comes from. Because without our Lord and Savior, not one of us would have any right to be here. Not one of us would have any hope to get to heaven, to look forward to a better day. He brings out how he is to be considered the least of the apostles, because he himself was one who had persecuted the church. He is one who was there when Stephen was stoned to death, and he had dragged many others out of their homes, making a havoc of the church. To the point before his conversion, of course, he was on the road to Damascus to go forth and drag more people out of their homes, receiving permission from people in charge to go forth and enter into other cities. But from that point on, you could also say that he's done more than the other apostles. And I'm sure if we examine our lives, that we can say he did a whole lot more than you and I have ever done in service to God, and suffered more than you and I have in the name of God and following our Lord and Savior. And yet he's able to say, I'm the least of the apostles. Not worthy. So this mindset of the lesson this morning, it is not worthy, but by grace. He brings that point out there in verse 10. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Right? He says, I'm the least of the apostles. I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace, by the gift, this undeserving gift of God, I am what I am. And his grace for me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Who are you? Who am I? Stand up and say, I'm deserving of to be part of God's kingdom, to be a child of God, to have hope, to enter into heaven. But we are blessed by the grace of God. Our sins make us unworthy. Make that clear. Make that point in our head. Our sins mean we don't deserve to go to heaven. The wages of sin is death. It's been that since the beginning of time, since God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden. That God put Adam and Eve in there and, of course, blessed them greatly to be able to live in the garden, to eat everything but one thing, right? To have dominion over the earth. But don't eat of that one tree, lest you die. It's been the consequence of sin since God put us upon this earth. And every one of us have fallen short. If you open up your Bibles and turn along with me in Romans. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Romans chapter 3 and looking there. Actually, jump up to verse 9. Verse 9, of course, here is he writes and makes mention of the Jews here and the Gentiles or the Greeks. He says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. None righteous. Again, we're called to be righteous. We're called to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to be good as God is good, to forgive as Christ has forgiven you, to be merciful as He has been merciful unto us. And so we're to be righteous. We're to follow in the footsteps of Christ. We're to strive to be like that. But when we take time to examine us, ourselves, and know our shortcomings, know what wrong we have done, the truth of it is that there's none. Not one of us who truly can say we're righteous as Christ is righteous. Again, don't take away from that point and say, well, there's no hope. There's no reason to try. We're to follow in the footsteps of Christ. And when we fall short, we repent of those sins and turn from them. And we get back up and keep on fighting. But we also have to be truthful. And to that point, to say we have no sin at all is to lie. It's to call God a liar. In Romans 3, verse 23, there again, as it brings out here, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All have fallen short. Not one of us can stand up and say, I am the worthy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and looking there, and in verse 1, says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the war, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Right here it says, when we were in sin, we were caught up in wearing these things. We were caught up in our trespasses. We were caught up walking according to the course of the world. We were caught up in according to the ways of the prince of the power of air. That is of Satan. That means while we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God, what did we do to deserve salvation? Deserve no. In Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64, and looking there in verse 6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There's no one who calls on your name, who arouses himself and take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us. You have delivered us to the power of our iniquities. Again, it's just as we were studying Daniel and we're studying Zechariah, it's a continuous reminder of look at what your fathers did that brought this upon you. Look what you continue to do and following in your father's footsteps and not listening and obeying the commands of God because of your sins and your father's sins. This is where it's led. Each one of us has fallen short, maybe a variety of different things that you've fallen short of compared to what I have fallen short of and what others in this room have fallen short of doing. Not everybody has done the same sin. Not everybody's tempted by the same thing. But one thing we can all say is that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. This is where that mindset, that saying of we're all sinners, you know, quite like the saying, I understand the saying. But when we take time to think about the next point, the rest of the lesson, that grace of God, that we have hope, that we have changed, that we put off those sins, means that we're not a sinner anymore. Do we still fall short? Do we still have temptations? Yes, but if you repent of your sins, then you're not a sinner. If you've had the blood of Christ wash your sins away, you're not a sinner. You've fallen short, and you've changed. You ask for forgiveness. God's grace makes the difference. The sacrifice in which Christ had made for us is what makes that difference. Again, if you go back and you look at the scripture reading there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, and as Paul makes that point, right, he says, I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I was able to go and teach others and help them to be saved.
By the grace of God, you are who you are. You're able to have your sins forgiven. You're able to move forward and have hope of a home in heaven. By the grace of God, we're able to gather together this morning and remember that great sacrifice that Jesus had made.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're reading there in verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." I know sometimes I stay away from the topic of grace. And because the world goes so far with grace to the point that they don't have to do anything, that everybody's going to go to heaven, and it's all God's doing. And again, without God's doing, without God's gift, without the sacrifice of Christ, without when we are baptized and our sins are washed away, without God being the one that removes your sins, we can't be saved without God. It is a gift of God. There's no denying it. But the world goes so far to say that you don't have to do anything at all. They want to go so far to say that that's the end of the story. God gave His Son and He died for you. Everybody gets to go to heaven. But don't let the world push us away from denying the truth. The truth is we're saved by God's grace. We're saved by His grace. Without it, we would be hopeless. Without it, Paul would have never become the man that he was. We wouldn't have the letters that are written to the church in Rome and Ephesus and Corinth and in Galatia, Timothy and Titus. We wouldn't have that great example of the man who continued to persevere and just continue to endure the suffering and to look at those examples and to look at what he gave to the brethren. It was all by the grace of God that He did those things. That we have Him for us today. And that we can look to Him as examples and look to the scriptures that He written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to know what it is we should do. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, if you will. Looking there in verse 11. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Right? Again, it's by the grace of God that we look forward to the coming of Christ. It is by His grace, by His gift, by His love, by His mercy, by the grace of God. But it also says, instructing us. What's the grace of God tell us to do? To deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Again, we were go back to Romans. We see Paul say, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? No, certainly not. You know, he puts that little rhetorical question in there as he's writing to Rome. And you know, brethren there, he says, yeah, let's just continue to live it up. You know, just continue to live in adultery, continue to lie, continue to be drunks, you know, because that makes Jesus' sacrifice all the greater. He goes, no, that just doesn't make any sense. Jesus died for you. You obeyed the gospel. You died to sin. What sense does it make to continue in sin? The grace of God is what makes the difference, and we need to make sure we thank Him for His sacrifice. We thank Him for His love. We thank Him for His mercy and His patience, His kindness. We thank Him for His gift. Romans chapter 5. And in verse 8, Romans chapter 5, we're looking there. And in verse 8 it says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died
for us. Again, without that sacrifice,
without Jesus, of course, resurrecting also. If he didn't resurrect, then there'd be no hope of our resurrection in the end. We would have no hope for those who died and gone on before us.
God's grace makes the difference.
His willingness to send his son down to die for us, his willingness to forgive you, forgive me of my sins, his willingness to do those things, to give that to us. Again, we know what Paul went through. We know what Paul did, what work he had done. You know, who knows how many he converted? How many people did Paul convert? And all the cities that he traveled to and then returned to a few times and to go and teach, even while being bound in chains, continuing to write letters and continuing to encourage the brethren as they come to him and gain a little freedom, even though being in prison, he's able to go forth and continue to teach. Yet he did not deserve all of that. He did not deserve forgiveness. Did not earn it. By the grace of God, he was able to do those things. We still must obey. We still must give ourselves over to the Lord. We still must be willing to receive that sacrifice, to receive that gift that God has blessed us with. In Acts chapter 22, and looking there in verse 16, looking at the conversion of Paul, right? As Paul saw the light, saw Christ, spoke to Christ on the road. Who are you? I'm the one who you are purchasing. Go. I will send you a man who will tell you what you need to do. And so we read here as Ananias comes to Paul, telling him what the Lord has instructed him to, right? Acts 22, verse 16. As it reads here, it says, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins." Wash away your sins, calling on his name. Right, if it was just a matter of faith, do you think Paul believed before this point? I do. He's spoken to Christ. He's seen Christ. He has been praying for 3 days, waiting for this man to come. If it's a matter of fact that just talking about the grace of God, could God not just wipe his sins away then? Why now is he instructed to be baptized to wash away his sins? We still must be willing to receive God's grace. To do what he's told us to do in order to receive this wonderful gift. To wash our sins away. To reach the blood of Christ. Right? That's what we just remember. We just remember the body that was nailed to a cross. The blood that was shed. That was just pouring and dripping down from our Savior on that cross onto the ground. That came flowing out when he was pierced to confirm his death. It's all by the grace of God. And his grace should move each and every one of us to be faithful in his service. All right, we often go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. I quote there as John is writing what he has seen to the seven churches of Asia. And he starts off and he's writing to specifically the congregation here and tells them, "Behold, the devil's going to cast you into prison. You're going to be tried, you're going to be tempted, but be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death and you'll receive that kind of righteousness." We have to be faithful. We have to be obedient. In Titus, if you will, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, we read already 11 through 13, as we talk about the grace of God, talk about casting off the ungodliness. But it continues on here, Titus chapter 2, and in verse 14 says, "Who gave himself for us," speaking of Jesus, "who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous
for good deeds.
Some translation, zealous for good works.
These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard.
As he writes to Timothy, telling him to teach these things. Instruct these things. Teach about Jesus. Teach about his grace. Make it known that they have to deny ungodliness. But also make known that he died so that you will do his work.
He died to gain servants. He died to gain soldiers
that are zealous to do good deeds. Ready to take action, ready to confess their faith, ready to teach the truth, ready to stand opposed to false teachings, ready to help the weak, ready to do whatever work is called for them to do. In Ephesians, if you will, Ephesians chapter 2, and looking there in verse 10, Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Right? Again, Jesus died for you. And so we're created in Christ Jesus. For what reason? For good works. We are his instruments of righteousness. We are his tools. We are his workmanship. Therefore, let's go out and do the good work that we can do in the grace of God. Again, you go back to 1 Corinthians 15. You go back to the scripture reading. That's what Paul says there. He says, by the grace, but by grace, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am able to do more than what the other apostles was able to do. By the grace of God, I traveled and I visited and I taught the Gentiles and I taught all who was willing to come to me. I cast out demons. I did these good deeds. By grace of God, I didn't die when someone stoned me to death. I didn't die when I was shipwrecked. I didn't die when I didn't have any food. I was able to keep on going. By the grace of God, you have received the truth. You've gained knowledge of what Jesus has done for you. By the grace of God, we've been blessed to be able to have Bible classes, Bible studies. We've been blessed with his kingdom, blessed with this congregation. To gain knowledge, to gain unity, to strengthen our fellowship, so that we too can do good deeds, do good works, spread his word, shine his light. Are we doing our part? James chapter 2 and verse 10. James chapter 2. Verse 10 is the wrong part, but he picked up in verse 14. Verse 14 is where it starts in talking about faith and works. It says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says, he has faith, but has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm, be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is it? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." All right, well, what good does that do? And so we come again back to grace. Grace is, we read in Ephesians earlier, right? You are saved by grace through what? Through faith. And then we say, faith without works, excuse me, pointless, it's dead. Faith alone is dead. And so if we're saved by grace through faith, is there anything we've got to do? Because faith without works, faith without action, faith without confessing your faith, what good is it? Romans 10 tells us that confession is made unto salvation. Faith without one who is being baptized to wash their sins away, what good does it? What good is the grace if we're not willing to receive it? If we're not going to reach the blood of Christ? We have to be willing to obey and do what God has called us to do. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Here it tells us, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him
through him to God the Father. And whatever you do, do all in the authority, the power of Christ.
And again, give thanks to the Father.
Whatever we do, you jump down a few verses down to verse 23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for you. Whatever your hands find to do, wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. God has blessed us with his grace. There is zero denying that. And you cannot be saved without his grace. We will never deny that. But do we continue to allow this grace to work in us? Do we continue to accept his grace and continue to do his work so that as he has blessed you, you can help him bless others? We don't want to leave with extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you know the truth, you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God, we want to encourage you to give yourself over to God. To accept this gift that he's blessed you with, to make that confession, to put sin behind you, and to be baptized and wash your sins. If we can help you in any other way, we let it be known. Please stand and see.